Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The ball drops. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
New York in 1904 was an exciting place to live. The city was growing exponentially. It even introduced a revolutionary new subway line. To commemorate the city's technological leaps and bounds and the relocation of the New York Times headquarters to Times Square, Adolph Oakes, the owner of the New York Times, decided to throw a party. A big party. Oakes had successfully lobbied the city to rename Longacre Square to Times Square to honor his famous publication's new home, though a contemporary New York Times article credits Interborough Rapid Transit Company president August Belmont for having the idea. The impressive Times Tower, built on a tiny triangle of land at the intersection of 7th Avenue, Broadway, and 42nd Street, was at the time Manhattan's second tallest building, built to chicly handle the newspaper's printing equipment. But let's get back to the party. Oakes spared no expense to ensure it was epic. An all-day street festival culminating in a fireworks display, and at midnight, cheers and noisemakers from over 200,000 raging attendees. It was said that the party could be heard as far away as Croton-on-Hudson, 30 miles north along the Hudson River. The New York Times description of the occasion described it as, quote, "From base to dome, the giant structure was alight, a torch to usher in the newborn year." The night was such a gigantic success that Times Square instantly replaced Lower Manhattan's Trinity Church as the place to do New Year's in New York. And it was a banger for the next 2 years. But because of safety concerns, in 1907, the city banned the big fireworks display. Things had to be pretty unsafe to ban something in 1907, so maybe there was some kind of death. I couldn't really find anything in my research, but something. Still, Oakes didn't care that he couldn't do fireworks. He would work around that with a larger-than-life fix. Inspired by a ball drop that was installed to keep time on top of England's Royal Observatory in 1833, Oakes decided he wanted to do that. But Oakes' ball drop would be much bigger, more glam, and would only keep one measure of time, the seconds before and after the start of a new year. Oakes arranged to have a gigantic, illuminated 700-pound iron and wood ball lowered from the tower flagpole precisely at midnight to signal the end of 1907 and the beginning of 1908. That New Year's Eve, and for almost a century thereafter, Times Square sign maker Arkwright Strauss was responsible for the grandiose and very popular ball lowering. In 1914, the New York Times outgrew Times Tower and moved to 229 West 43rd Street, though they retained ownership of the building. But honestly, the move didn't matter. The iconic New Year's Eve in Times Square was here to stay. In 1942 and 1943, the glowing ball was temporarily retired due to wartime dim-out of lights in New York City. But crowds were as big as ever. In 1961, the New York Times sold Times Tower to developer Douglas Lay, who was also the man behind creating Times Square as this gigantic advertising hub. You might remember him from some of the more historic ads in Times Square, including Cool Cigarettes, 8 o'clock coffee, or the famous Camel billboard that blew water vapor smoke rings over the streets below. Let's take a break. Now, New Year's Eve is even more insane than Oakes might have ever imagined. It is estimated that over 1 billion people watch the ceremony each year, with the lowering of the ball synonymous with the celebration of a new year. The ball itself has had 7 transformations in conjunction with the rising popularity and commercialism of Times Square. The first New Year's Eve ball was nothing to scoff at, 700 pounds made of iron and wood and adorned with 125-watt light bulbs. Just as a fun addition, as part of the 1907-1908 festivities, waiters in the fabled lobster palaces and other deluxe eateries and hotels surrounding Times Square were given battery-powered top hats with the year 1908 fashioned out of tiny light bulbs. At the stroke of midnight, all the top hats lit up in conjunction with Times Tower. Pretty cute. In 1920, a 400-pound ball made entirely of wrought iron replaced the original. In 1955, the iron ball was replaced with an aluminum ball weighing a mere 150 pounds. The ball stayed the same until the 1980s, when red light bulbs and the addition of a green stem converted the ball into an apple for the I Love New York marketing campaign from 1981 to 1988. After 7 years, the traditional glowing white ball with white bulbs returned, and in 1995, the ball was upgraded with aluminum skin, rhinestones, strobes, and computer controls. And they, of course, had to do something special for 2000. So the New Year's Eve ball was completely redesigned by Waterford Crystal and Philips Lighting. Yes, a crystal ball. It's the same ball, I believe, that we use today. Now, if you want to see the ball drop in Times Square, you need incredible patience and maybe even some diapers. People line up around 2 p.m. to get herded into sections by the New York Police Department. Once you're in your designated section, get comfortable because there is no re-entry. In the cold New York winter, you wait there for 10 hours with no bathrooms, no food, and no chairs. Around 3 to 4 p.m., they pump in some pop music, maybe. Then they hand out some cheap swag to some sections. A lot of people, according to a witness, leave around 7 p.m., too cold, uncomfortable, or bored to stay. Others, let's call them the diehards, wear maxi pads, pee in bags and bottles, or wear diapers to combat the need to pee during their long, long wait. According to Robert J. Bush, in an article by Madhouse magazine, Bush tells interviewers one New Year's Eve that, quote, "I have been waiting here for 48 hours. I am wearing an industrial-strength diaper that I had custom made. It can hold 10 gallons of water. I am definitely used to peeing on myself. First few times it is weird, but then you get used to it, and finally, in an odd way, you start to enjoy it. It can get uncomfortable when it freezes, though." If it's your jam to watch the ball drop on New Year's Eve, I support you. That's very cool. I just hope to God you're doing it from the comfort of your own home, close to food, booze, and of course, a bathroom.